Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. With the best of all our shows here at WIP, morning, midday, afternoon, and special shows like pregame shows on Sunday, and of course the Brandon Graham show Monday night, Players Lounge as well. And by the way, speaking of pregame shows, I just want to let you know, Sunday, this is coming Sunday, usually for our pregames, you know, for the home games, we're down at the stadium, down on the plaza there, and for the road games, we do them from the studio. Well, this week we're taking the road game pregame. Myself and Hugh Douglas Elliott will be joining us from Washington, D.C., from or Landover, Maryland, you know, where the stadium is, obviously, for our pregame show. We're going to be on the road at Stateside Vodka Bar. That's on 1700 North Hancock Street in Philadelphia. Come on out, hang out with us. It's a pregame and then during game watch party. 10 a.m. we'll start the show. We'll count down to kickoff with Dave Spadaro, myself, and Hugh, and then Elliot joins us around 11. We take it right up to the game with great guests, getting ready for the game, and then there's food trucks there, block party. It's an ugly sweater party, by the way, so I'll be wearing my ugly sweater, Hugh will be wearing his, and we'll get set for a big football game as the Eagles try to clinch the NFC. So come on by Stateside Vodka Bar, 1700 North Hancock Street in Philly on Sunday morning into the early afternoon. It's going to be a great, great time. Now, as far as this Eagles team goes, you know, look, they've been incredible. 12-2, 10 straight wins, and a lot of people's eyes now the favorite to come out of the NFC and be in the Super Bowl and maybe a bus trip for the midday show down in New Orleans with a lot of our great listeners. But, you know, when a team kind of goes from where they were early to where they are now, it's very easy to get caught up in the storylines of the five or six or seven major players in this, right? Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, Vic Fangio, the offensive line, A.J. Brown after last week, you know, Zach Bond and his emergence, Quinyon Mitchell is now the favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jalen Carter making a push for Defensive Player of the Year. You know, the names that kind of stand out, Cooper DeJean is a rookie because they're undefeated since he got in there. You know, there are the names that have gotten a lot of play this year, whether it be from highlights, their play, the storyline, sound bites, whatever. And they're the ones we talk about over and over and over again. But in a year like this, when a team's playing this well, and we're trending towards this one being one of the best Eagles teams we've ever seen, you know, with three games to go, a chance to go 15-2, potentially have the one seed, you know, there's a chance here. And I would say if they get through this weekend, this is obviously the only tough regular season game left, or, you know, only significantly tough regular season game left, they'll be favored by, you know, 7.5, 8, 9, whatever it is over the Cowboys. They'll be favored by you know, 17 if they want to play against the Giants and there's something to play for in that game. So until the playoffs, this is going to be the toughest opponent. If they get through this and go all the way, I mean, we're talking about an all-time Eagles team here, but in those kind of seasons, some things could kind of fly under the radar. Certain people could fly under the radar. Players, coaches fly under the radar, and we don't talk about them enough and the job they've done and what it means moving forward. So I want to dive into today. Five Eagles we should be talking more about. Talking about more over the course of this season. All right, let's start with number one on my list. And this list is just kind of stream of consciousness. It's not like I'm ranking them. It's just five people on the Eagles this year that I think are a big part of this and not being talked about as much as all the other guys. And the first name I wrote down is Milton Williams. I think he's become one of the best defensive tackles in the league this year. I remember being at training camp this summer for one of the shows. We did a lot of shows, maybe, you know, I don't know, six, maybe seven shows from Eagles training camp this past summer, which was great. And we got a chance to talk to a lot of the defensive players, which is now, you know, in retrospect, interesting because we talked to, you know, a lot of the players on the best defense in the league right now. And I remember being at one of Vic Fangio's pre-practice press conferences. So just to take you inside the way those days usually went, I would get to the NovaCare complex around, you know, 8:50, 9 o'clock. Yeah, I'd usually be inside by 9. And, you know, we had a trailer. If you were at any of the training camp practices, not the one in the stadium, the open practice, but if you were at any of the ones at the facility, you know what I'm talking about. It's that big, you know, rectangle where you walk around the field and there's different like stuff for people like tents and fans and all that, food and whatnot. And then on the corner, there's the bathrooms. And then next to that is where we have our huge trailer. WIP has a trailer. And that's where we do our shows from, and guests, you know, players come in there, coaches, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'd get there around 8:50, I'd hop in the trailer, and I would meet with Hugh, and we'd call Kyle, who's back at the studio, and we'd plan the show out. And then, you know, by the time like 9:30-ish is done, we kind of have an idea of where we're going with the show. And so I got like, you know, half hour, 20 minutes to walk around the field, and the players are kind of warming up at that point, starting to walk out, but around 9:40... A coach a day would do a press conference. You know, it would either be Sirianni or it'd be Kellen Moore or it'd be Vic Fangio. One of them would talk. I guess the first couple of days a player might, but usually, typically before practice, it was a coach. So one of those days we were there early on, Vic Fangio, it was his day to speak. So I went and listened to the press conference and hung out there before the show started at 10. And he just raved about Milton Williams, raved about him. Talk about how he was trying to get Miami to trade for him last year. And it kind of struck me then, he likes this guy. I mean, I've noticed Vic to be a very honest coach in terms of his evaluation of players. And very early, you could tell he trusted Quinyon Mitchell. That's bared out and improved itself. Very early, you could tell he liked Milton Williams. It's bared out and improved itself. Very early, you could tell he wasn't the biggest fan of the game of Bryce Huff. And that bared itself out. But Milton Williams, 19 tackles, 5 sacks, a forced fumble, 6 tackles for loss, a fumble recovery. He's the second highest defensive tackle pass rush grade in the NFL. He has that right now over at PFF. He's been really good. I'm fascinated to see what his next contract will be, if the Eagles make it a priority, or they have to kind of dive back into the defensive tackle market in the draft. I would make him a priority. He's become a really, really good football player for the Eagles. I think he fits this Vic Fangio scheme so well. He benefits playing next to Jalen Carter. They play off each other. He's got enough toughness in the run and a lot of juice in the pass rush on the inside. I like Milton Williams, and we should talk about him more. Number two on my list, a guy that I loved coming out of the draft. I raved about him. It was one of the first episodes of WIP Daily I did. I remember sitting here in this studio exactly where I am right now recording this, and talking about, I had my big board heading into the 2023 NFL draft, and I wanted Nolan Smith. I considered him with that first Eagles pick where they ended up getting Jalen Carter. You know, if Carter was off the board, I would have taken Nolan Smith there, or, you know, try to get him in the top, you know, the first half of the first round, even if it was a trade down. Ultimately, they take Carter with their pick, and then Nolan Smith is still hanging out on the board late in the first round. I think it was like the 30th pick. And the only other, you know, there are a couple players there you could have considered. Joey Porter Jr. I loved Brian Branch. Branch and Nolan were kind of neck and neck for me. I thought they'd both be outstanding NFL players. Branch has gotten off to a quicker start, obviously, last year with the Lions and again with the Lions. But boy, has Nolan Smith arrived here in his second season in the NFL. So last year, he had one sack, one tackle for loss, 3 quarterback hits in totality. This year, 5.5 sacks now, 7 tackles for loss, 10 quarterback hits. He has 37 total tackles. He has been an improving player as this season has gone on. And I would say over the last month, he maybe has been the most improved Eagle over the last month of the season. I love the way he's playing. Physicality, energy, pass rush. He played 95% of the snaps on Sunday. You know, when Brandon went down, one of my concerns was the depth of the pass rush. You know, would they be able to rotate as much? No Bryce Huff, who's on IR. No Brandon Graham. Would guys like Josh Sweat wear down? You know, would guys like Nolan Smith wear down? And time will tell on that, especially a younger guy like Nolan. Can he hold up at his size and his weight? I just think he's a really good football player that's learning, and you're seeing it develop. And I truly believe, and I said this the other day, that when next year arrives, when we get to next summer and the lead up to next season and all those articles and lists come out of the breakout players to come, like Nolan Smith's probably going to end this season. He's got 3 games to go. He's probably going to end this season somewhere around 7 sacks, you know, 9 tackles for loss, 14 quarterback hits, you know, whatever the numbers are going to be. And I believe you're going to see his name listed next year as a sneaky breakout star entering the 2025 season. That's where he's heading. He reminds me so much of a young Brandon Graham in that has an infectious personality. I think he is a leader. He is a voice on the field. I think the other players, he helps them get up to be their best, including Nakobe Dean and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. He might not be their best defensive player, but he might end up being the straw that stirs his drink for a long time here in Philadelphia. Love the development of Nolan Smith. We should be talking about it more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third person on my list is Grant Calcaterra, the tight end. That first catch on Sunday on that kind of double move over the right seam. Nice pass by Jalen. Nice catch by Calcaterra. You know, in years past, when the Eagles have lost Dallas Goedert to injury for, you know, brief or significant periods of time, they've usually struggled. They haven't had an answer. They haven't had a second tight end. Grant Calcaterra has developed into that. And to the point where I am intrigued by Grant Calcaterra's, you know, potential as a 1 or 1A tight end next year. And what I mean by that is, you know, Dallas Goedert's a lot of injuries. He's not getting any younger. I would not be surprised if the Eagles, a team that has very few true needs right now as we enter the offseason, we'll see what they do with some of the free agents and what becomes a need. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles draft a long-term offensive line tackle fixture in the first round as kind of a developmental player. the way they were, many people thought they would this past year before Quinyon fell and all the offensive linemen went ahead of the Eagles. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that happens in the first round. Depending on if they pay Mekhi Becton or not, you could play that player at guard next year and then move him out to tackle eventually when Lane is done. I think that is a very realistic draft possibility. The other thing I think in the draft that's probably to come here, second or third round, depending on what they want to add on defense, and that, you know, will require their decision making at linebacker with Bond and Dean and all that, and where they feel they are at safety long term, and what they do with Milton Williams. This all is intertwined. But second or third round, a tight end of the future. And while that tight end of the future gets himself ready the way Goddard got himself ready and the way Ertz got himself ready, I think Calcaterra could man the position for a little while. Now, he's not the blocker Goddard has been, but I saw him make some willing blocks on Sunday. And I see explosiveness with him as a receiver. So he has 21 receptions this year, 254 yards. That's 12.1 yards per catch. The only tight ends in the NFL, and I understand it's less volume, but the only tight ends in the NFL averaging more yards per catch to Grant Calcaterra are George Kittle, Tucker Kraft, and Sam Laporta. That's it. Everybody else is below that 12.1 yards per catch. He's got some juice. He's got some burst. We know he's got the connection with Jalen back to Oklahoma. He had the concussion issues. They didn't clear him. It looked like his football career was over, and he's had this great story coming back here and making plays for the Eagles. I'm a fan of Grant Calcaterra. We should be talking more about him. Number four on my list, Cam Jurgens. I had significant concern there would be a big drop-off from Jason Kelce. And he hasn't been as good as Kelce was last year, but he's been good. And the offensive line has been good. And they have a great running game. And the pass protection, it's always kind of hard to kind of parse it because Jalen takes a decent amount of sacks. But how much is that him versus the offensive line? I think it's been a very, very nice first season starting for Cam Jurgens. I would call him a top 10-ish center in the NFL right now with obviously time and room to improve. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if next year, the year after, he's a top 5-ish center in the NFL. It's a great job by the scouting department, the development staff, to go from one Hall of Fame center to a guy that in time could end up a Pro Bowl center. I've been impressed. The drop-off has been not as big and not as significant as I thought it could be back in the summer. We should talk more about Cam Jurgens. And the last one here, not a player, but a coach. And that's Kellen Moore for two things. One, this offense has a lot of talent, but also trying to reshape it in the middle of a season around a running game instead of a passing game. That is a challenge, and they succeeded in that. And now trying to bring Jalen back along, getting the most out of a quarterback that has a lot of strengths, but also obviously has some pocket weaknesses and a propensity to take sacks. Kellen Moore's done a good job, but it's more than just him doing a good job. Why I think we should be talking about him more is the element of continuity and the element of the future of this offense, because every list I see, including this morning, Dan Graziano and Fowler over at ESPN, put their list out of all the names that they expect to be part of this hiring cycle, and Kellen Moore's name comes up every week. I don't know if he's going to get a job. But I do know if there's going to be eight openings, I'd guess six of those teams are going to interview Kellen Moore. So he might get a job. And that's a big deal because we know how it's been for Jalen Hurts. We know he's talked last year about how he strived for continuity and yearned for continuity with play calling. And I think it's likely and probably it will be Kellen Moore again next year. But I don't know if that's for sure. And I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to be a long-time offensive coordinator. When a coordinator starts as young as Moore, at some point, and Moore started being a coordinator like in his early 30s, at some point, maybe in late 20s, they get a job as a head coach. I don't know if that's now or next year. At some point, someone's going to give Kellen Moore a shot. Now, will he be a good head coach? I have no idea. He might end up back to the coordinator route eventually. But that could upset the continuity. Look, the Eagles are rolling right now. If they win the Super Bowl and then Moore leaves, I don't think people are going to cry, but it would add a layer of challenge to the future of this thing to keep it going into the future. Five Eagles we should be talking more about. Milton Williams, Nolan Smith, Cam Jurgens, Grant Calcaterra, and Kellen Moore. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there for all of the podcasts and, of course, all our great YouTube content. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you at Stateside coming up on Sunday.